Congrats on matching. Here we go.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Woo, buddy.
Boom.
We went, we've been on for an hour. We've been doing this for an hour.
I know, I'm knackered now.
I don't even know what that means, but all right.
Knackered. Knackered means like tired.
It sounds like it means no clothes. Save it for Drum with Mike and Nettie after hours.
Yeah.
You are proper tired.
Yeah, proper tired. Yeah, if an Englishman says, oh, mate, I'm knackered, it means, yeah, I'm like, I'm shattered. You probably don't know what shattered means either. Shattered.
I really don't.
Shattered face. All these words, all these million words, they just mean tired.
I just love it. I love that we now have such an international audience that the folks in the UK are DMing me and they're trying to help me understand what, did you say it was Waitrose?
Yeah, Waitrose.
Yeah, they're just like, no, you don't understand. I'm like, no, I do. I get it. But you don't understand what I'm dealing with over here. All right. So let's just calm down.
I get it.
You're on Eddie's side.
I love it.
How are you, buddy?
Yeah, man, I'm good, man. I'm really good. Yeah, it's been a pretty busy week. Had my first session, which was an absolute nightmare.
Okay, so when you say your first session, you mean your first session in your space,
yeah,
all on your own for the most part. I mean, you told me that you had an engineer help out on the drum tones, but this was someone hired you to do a project for them and you were to deliver the tracks from your space.
Yeah, and it was, mate, we got a really good sound. It was cool. We like smashed out these parts, but I think, long story short, the person who wanted me to drum on these tracks had never worked with a session player or worked with a musician who played like an acoustic instrument. So it's just a lot of going back and forth. And yeah, we got there in the end, but yeah. But anyway, talking about that stuff, I'm making the move over to Pro Tools, mate. I'm doing it.
Okay, so, and I've said this a million times, I hate Pro Tools. Everyone knows I use it. The reason I use it is because of how many other people use it. So when we're communicating with each other, it's so fast. When my band comes over here, I can say, hey, Dino, sit in the chair and track me. I'm going to go out to the kit. And then when he comes in here, my bass player can record him because we all have this shared understanding. If I go to Dino's house and he's on Persona Studio One, and then I have to, and we'd all be confused. So it's just the shared information. It makes it so much easier. Like when you and I are talking cameras, the fact that you use a Canon, we go back and forth so quickly with each other because we have shared lingo.
Yeah, big time. It's 100% the industry standard, isn't it? And I think if you want to do those remote sessions, it's so much easier just to send like a Pro Tools session, man. But yeah, apart from that, really good. I say apart from that, like that wasn't good, but it was good.
I know more than our listeners will ever know. And I know that what was good was the process of learning how to deal, especially on the business side of that stuff with okay, it's the same thing. Anytime you're working for a client, the work is not the most important part. The communication before the work starts is the most important part.
Ah, 100%. I mean, I've learned a lot from that first session. And if anyone's getting into that, definitely just get as much detail, as many details as possible, get specifics. And yeah, otherwise you'll be like me. I'm fully gray now. no, I'm joking. It was really fun, mate. But yeah, how are you? What have you been up to?
I'm good, man. So the vlog came out on Monday, and that was really cool to see the reaction to it, see if anybody wanted it. I threw out, you know me well enough to know that when I say something like it's no big deal, it's part of a very big deal.
Yeah.
So like the last couple lines was me just joking around like, hey guys, I'm sorry I couldn't get everything into this. Otherwise, it would have been like 2 hours long, and I'm sure no one wants to see that. That's clearly, hey, type in the comments below. Would you have liked this to be longer?
Mm-hmm.
And so many comments about like it was too short. And I was like, man, it was 10 minutes. I felt like it was way too long. And I was trimming it and trimming it and trimming it until finally I was like, all right, this is as much as I can do and as much work as I'm willing to do on a vlog. Because if I'm doing a vlog for YouTube, if I'm doing a lesson for YouTube, that's taking time away from the website. It's taking time away from the things that I actually have to do. YouTube, I don't have to do. I like to do it, but I don't have to do it. So at some point, it's like, okay, this is as good as it's going to be. But man, it's 10 minutes. Who in the hell wants to watch this? The comments were really like, I mean, almost all of them were about, I wish this was longer. So that was cool, which gives me, I don't think I would change anything as far as the part that I'm in, but definitely now I know, okay, I'm going to have my intro and the journey to the store. I'm going to have my wrap up at the end. But the part once I'm at the store, the drum nerds really want to see more of that stuff. Mm. And I was feeling guilty, like, oh, I don't want to. I mean, Dana Bentley walked me through probably 15 or 16 different drums and kits and told me a 10-minute story on each one. And I have them all on film. I just felt like I don't want to bore everybody. But then I was thinking about, well, who's watching this and how are they watching this? This is now TV for them. They're actually walking around the house doing other things while this is going on. It's not they're sitting staring at their computer. So I think the next one, I'm really excited. The next one I have planned is a shop called Dubs Drum Basement in Dublin, California. And they actually have a snare there waiting for me that a company wanted to give to me. And they knew I was doing a clinic with Jason McGurr at Dubs. So they said, hey, we're in the area. We know Mike Johnston's going to be there in the next couple weeks. Can we drop this snare off for you? And then when he comes through, he can just pick it up. That way we don't have to ship it. Then COVID happened and that clinic tour got canceled. So now that the store's back open, they're like, hey, do you want us to ship this out to you? And I'm like, no, like this is great. I'll just come down and pick it up. But this is one of the few shops that I don't think they have any vintage gear, but they carry like so many one-offs. Like every time I go there, it's a tiny little shop, but it's every ounce of that shop is bespoke and handpicked by the owner and his staff. And you just see snares where you're like, I've never even heard of this company, but this is amazing. So I might be coming out of there with something very non-vintage that's going to cause a fight at home.
Lovely. You got to film the fight as well. That will make the video. You just got to film. Just strap a GoPro like in between your shirt, just poking out.
Right.
So like no one knows apart from us watching.
No one has seen the sweet, beautiful lady that I love. No one's ever seen the real, I just bought a new drum set vibe that she has. And it's very scary.
Yeah, I bet.
I don't think anybody wants to be a part of it.
I've been there, mate. I've been there, you know. I've been there. Mate, so you know the last episode, you did the 10 questions for me.
Ooh!
Yeah, I've got 10 here for you.
Okay.
And it's, mate, I've just been overanalyzing it. I've been reading them over and over thinking, are they good? Are they deep and meaningful? Or are they absolute pure bollocks? But we'll find out.
I don't even know what that word means, but if they are pure whatever, then that's good too.
Okay.
That's great. So I'm ready.
Did you time it, yeah, last time?
I did it. So we run out of time at a minute. I think you crushed yours in like 45 seconds.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, I turned my phone off for this podcast so I didn't have any distractions. So bear with me a minute, listeners, because I'm just turning my iPhone on.
Fire that up.
Let me tell you this,
listeners, while he's firing up his iPhone 7, I want you guys to know that Eddie is about to get his heart rate going through the roof as soon as these questions are over. This is my gift to him, and he has no idea what's in store. We have not talked about it, but we'll see. It'll probably get cut out of the podcast because I just don't see how it's going to even work, but we're going to make it work. Here we go.
Okay, cool.
Bring it on.
All right, so we're going to go on three. Yeah, one, two, go. Just the way I like to do things, really. Okay, ready? One, two, three, go. Late nights or early mornings?
Early mornings.
Instagram or YouTube?
Instagram.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Movies or documentaries?
Docs.
Text or voice notes?
Voice notes to you, text to the rest of the world.
Basketball or football?
Football.
Canon or Leica?
Oh, what is wrong with you? Canon.
Burger or pizza?
Veggie burger.
Okay. Buddy Rich or Phil Collins?
Phil Collins, all day.
Shower or bath?
Shower.
Done. 41 seconds, mate. 41 seconds. Boom. There you go.
Oh,
yeah.
Or a Canon, that's a biscuit.
Yeah, I knew that one was going to be a biscuit. I was going to do more drummy questions, but I thought, actually, you know, I thought I'd do a few of them I knew. Like, I knew you were going to say documentaries.
Oh, that is good stuff. Good stuff. Okay, here's how this is going to work.
Oh, God.
Let me fire up my kit video for you.
Ooh.
So, I know you've never shed, and we can't really shed.
Okay.
But I want to make your heart rate go through the roof.
Okay.
So I'm going to run over to the kit, and I'm going to play something that's a few bars long.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to come back in here and you're going to respond to it on your kit back there. We are not using any of our real mics.
Okay.
It's whatever our podcasting mic picks up is what they get.
Okay, sick. All right, okay.
All right, man.
Okay, cool. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
I'm going.
This is sick. Okay, I'm definitely nervous. Pinnick. What a vibe, mate. What a vibe. Here we go. Okay. But that was beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful.
All right. Get your butt on the kit and go respond to it.
Okay. Oh my God. No, mate. My snare drum is off the stand. Hang on.
Oh my God.
Okay. You're going to have to kill some time, mate. Because my reflex pad is on my snare drum stand. Hang on, two steps.
As Eddie adjusts his snare stand, you can tell that Tama Hardware is inferior to DW Hardware. He just knocked it over. And just kidding, Tama representatives, your hardware is fantastic. And he's almost got it done. This is riveting.
It's like changeover at a festival. Okay, we're there.
My God.
Snare drum stand on. Here we go.
He just knocked over half the drum set.
Run it back.
My boy went in. Back.
That's me sat down. That is me sat down. Headphones going in.
There we go. My goodness. Okay. I didn't know you were going to bring the swampy grease. All right, fine. I will see you in 10 seconds.
Oh, mate, this is brilliant. Listeners, if you could just see what we're doing right now. Okay.
He's already on the kit.
Oh, mate. That was fucking shit. I don't even know what mine was.
That was beautiful. That was epic. I loved it. If we don't lose half of our listeners because of this segment, then we'll do this more often. Okay. My heart rate is going, bro.
Same. Jesus Christ, mate. It's like...
I mean, that's... Drumming is one thing. Drumming in front of a friend is another thing. Knowing that it's going to be listened to by the entire drum world. Yeeks.
God, mate. It's that second one you pulled out. I was like, I'll try and keep this sort of vibe. And then...
Loved it because you had this 4-bar beautiful solo that fit the vibe, the triplet based vibe. And then as soon as you came out, I'm like, okay, stop on the one. But you're like, you know what? Let me just go halftime shuffle. I'm British. I know Ash Stone. And I'm like, here we go. Let's see how he gets out of this one.
Yeah. And I'm just absolutely shocking that last bit. But whatever. There we go. I mean, that is adrenaline for you.
Dude, that was epic. That to me, that's what sheds are supposed to be like. Two friends. Three friends, four friends, just having fun and laughing about the drums. Okay. Well, anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed our episode about endorsements, and we will see you next time.
Oh, my God, mate. Honestly,
Let's get into it. So we are talking about endorsements today, and we're going to go over all the things that I think people never really think about, and definitely things that that no one really talks about, because endorsements always seem to be this weird, especially in the world of social media drumming and social media musicianship. It seems that endorsements are more about acquiring gear so that you can take the picture of the gear to show everyone else that you got free or discounted gear, which somehow elevates your profile. And then the cycle has ended, which I think is a very short-term way to think about this stuff, not to mention it's just the wrong way to go about it. So I mentioned to you before the podcast started that I had to go through the endorsement process and the phone calls and the emails literally yesterday. So nothing is finished, so I can't talk about what the company is, but it is a company that's not necessarily drum set related.
Cool.
So it was very similar to going through the endorsement process as an unknown drummer, because I couldn't rely on, oh, did Chris over at Aquarian talk to you yet? Or did Andrew at Gretsch give you a call? So it was awkward, I guess, in the beginning, because you have to at some point be like, how hard do I sell myself here? Where in reality, this is, I mean, you need me to promote your product, so you have to sell me. But I also want to be associated with your product. So it was just this back and forth of the guy being like, and this is what this does, and this is how we've grown this. And then me going, yeah, but I've sold this many snare drums and it has my signature on it.
Yeah.
So you should recognize it. So,
it's a very weird situation, because no one really knows the drum world unless you're in it. But it's a very powerful, big community, a well-respected community. And I feel like you never need to say those things if you're in like the sneaker game, or if you're in like another industry, because it's kind of easy to acknowledge your success. But within the drum game, it's like you kind of do have to say, actually, mate, I'm a legend.
I definitely didn't pull that card out, but I, you know, it did get to the point where I actually had to say, hey, before I go on, do you know what I do? I was very purposefully staying away from the, do you know who I am? Question, because it's such a douchey thing to ask. But it was like, do you know what I do, and do you know what kind of impact I have on our industry? And if not, that's okay, but stop me, because I don't want to be like, oh, and here's what I've done, and here's what else I've done, and here's what I'm currently doing. So let's get into that. By the way, everything went great. I'm very excited to give you guys the details in the future, but I just want you to know that it, unless it's something in the drum world, if I'm approaching like a tea company or something like that, or if I was approaching on shoes, I talked to On after I put up that picture, they reached out, we had a conversation, I still have to go through the entire, and here's what I've done, and here are my stats. And they do want those stats. I mean, they asked me, can you send me your social media numbers? And I said, yeah, of course. And it was like, here's my Instagram followers, here's my Facebook followers, here's my YouTube followers, here's my website numbers, all of that stuff. And that, I mean, this guy, this A&R, now will take that back to the, you know, the chief marketing officer at their corporation, and they'll have a discussion about this. Mm. And then that discussion leads into, well, what does this endorsement entail? And that's where I want to start this. Most people don't know that just because you're endorsed, that does not mean you're getting free stuff, right? Like, your first endorsement, I'm sure, must have been just a percentage off.
Yeah, I think it was mine like, was. Yeah, it was, I think it was like 30% off, maybe even like 20. Definitely wasn't free.
Yeah.
It was that classic situation where I got endorsed, but I was so poor that I couldn't buy anything anyway. So it was like, we spoke about that in another episode where it's
that's the best, where they're like, yeah, you get 50% off. And it's like, yeah, that doesn't help. I have no money.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a layaway plan?
Yeah. They always come at the weird time. I remember, I think it was like someone from Metallica saying it. It's like, when you start out, that's actually when you need the free stuff. And then when you get going and you've got a bit of money or whatever, and the band's got a bit of money, that's when you can actually afford to buy the equipment that you want to play. It's a bit backwards, but I understand why it's not like that.
I actually had a discussion with Vic Firth, and they were way, way on board with this. But I was like, can I endorse somebody that on behalf of Vic Firth and pay out of my pocket for their sticks for a year that doesn't deserve an endorsement skill-wise yet, just because this is when they're broke. They don't have followers. They don't have, but it's like, yeah, but they also can't keep playing if every time they break one stick, they have to wait another week for a paycheck to come in.
Yeah.
This is when I should be endorsing people. This is who I want to endorse. I understand on a business level, it would be really bad to be like, all right, here's our roster. All three of these guys and girls have been playing for almost a year now. Like, it would not look good, but I totally agree with you.
I'm sure they would sound better than what I just fucking played anyway, mate. So just, do you know what I mean?
That was epic. I honestly felt like we got to play together.
Well, it's like, just quickly jumping off subject, I love, as I said before, I've never had that. I've never had that short shed feeling. And just now I'm like, okay, that tempo, that sort of vibe, I want to go practice it. I want to get better at it. So totally. The next time Mike absolutely scares me to death live on a podcast, I could actually have something to play. Jesus.
Oh, buddy. Anyway, well, you crushed it.
Anyway, endorsements. All right.
So let's start here. What are endorsements? Let's just get that out of the way. I think there's a difference between endorsements, which is what we have in the music world, versus sponsorships. When I think of sponsorships, I definitely think that there's money involved. There's more than just product. In the drum world, no matter who tells you what, I promise you there are very little, if any. I don't think there are really any, but there's very little, hey, we'll pay you to play this drum set. And I know some of the biggest artists in the world. I've been lucky enough to have great deals with my companies. At no point does that ever happen. What does happen, though, there is money involved. What happens is you have a clinic fee. So both Eddie and I are clinicians. He's a clinician for Tama and Zildjian. I'm a clinician for Gretsch and Meinl and my other companies. And so what will happen is part of your endorsement will be that you are on their clinician roster, which is a very big deal. Not all drummers that have endorsements are clinicians. So that when you're on the clinic roster, the official clinic roster, what can happen is somebody could buy, say, 100 cymbals from Meinl, a store, and then be part of that buy-in is if you buy 100 cymbals, you also get a clinic with your preferred artist. And then I'm in that list, and then they can have me come and do a clinic. So there are things like that. The other thing is that clinic would entail a fee for me. So I might, let's use round numbers just so you don't freak out about the drum industry's woes with money. But maybe my clinic fee is $100 or $1,000 or $10,000. Doesn't matter. So what could happen is maybe if I was going to leave Gretsch and go to Tama, I could use that as a negotiating tactic. I could say, I'm currently getting $5 from Gretsch to do a clinic. Will you give me $10 for every clinic? So the payment is for the work, but no one's getting paid just to play the drums. All right. And so let's get that out of the way. So what is an endorsement? Usually it is an agreement between you and the company that you will exclusively play their gear and no one else's gear for whatever that product is, whether it's sticks, heads, drums, cymbals, whatever. And in exchange for that, they're going to give you either a discount or free gear. Like we were mentioning, not all endorsements, actually most endorsements, don't start off at free. All the companies have their own lingo. They might have bronze, silver, gold, platinum. They might have level one, level two, level three, doesn't matter. But a lot of times you'll come in and they'll say, okay, we're going to give you cost plus 10. That's our initial endorsement. So that means cost, what the thing costs for them, plus 10% off. That would be an awesome endorsement. What they're saying is we're actually losing money to be associated with you because we're losing 10% after our own cost to sell you this drum set. That's a great entry-level endorsement. After that, you might get free gear, but nothing else. Then after that, maybe the platinum level might be you get free gear whenever you want it. You don't have to explain it. And you're also on their clinician roster. So you have the ability to make money. You know, if I was getting, let's say I got, for round numbers, $1,000 per clinic, but my companies have not told me that I can only do so many clinics, then I could book 100 clinics every year and make $100,000. So it gives you another source of revenue. So in your first endorsement, you said you got like 30% off or whatever it is. I mean, I went through the same thing. My first batch of endorsements all happened at once. So like within a day, I got DW, Peisty, Aquarian, and Vic Firth.
Wow.
And within a week, like, because it was all part of my record deal and it was all through my band. None of it was based off of my personal value as a drummer. It was just like, you're signed to this record label. You're using this producer. There's a track record of success. So now you have endorsements. And they were all exactly, I think it was all 50% off. What was your first endorsement?
I don't think I've told you this story before, but it's a wicked story, mate. So I was on tour with a band called The Ghost Inside. They're like a hardcore metal band from the US. And this was one of LTA's first early tours. And it was around Europe.
So you were in LTA, but you were opening for them.
And it was like, we had just released our first album. And we always used to tour with metal bands for some weird reason. I mean, proper, like, it was like a death metal tour with a few hardcore bands and then us. And it was just the weirdest thing. Like, what are we doing on here? You know, what is life? Anyway, it was a really, really cool, fun tour. I remember that tour specifically because there was one bus with like six bands on it. So totally. Smelly, mate. And it was just, it was like 2 months. We started off in Europe, went back to the UK, then went back to Europe. Anyway, the Ghost Inside drummer didn't actually play on that tour. They had a fill-in drummer with a guy called Derek Kurzweil. He used to play in a band called Unearthed. Do you remember Brandon?
Oh, sure.
Anna?
Yep, absolutely.
Right. So he was their drummer, but he was just filling in for the Ghost Inside. Anyway, he was a lovely, lovely bloke. Got along with him really well. He was a minor guy. At this point, I was playing just like whatever I had at the time, whatever I could afford. And we became friends, and he was fully endorsed by Minor. And then a rumor went around on the tour, towards the end of the tour, that he had got me a present. And it was just before Christmas. So everyone knew apart from me. And I was like, what's he got me? And I was telling my band, I was asking my bandmates, like, nah, seriously, like, when no one's here, can you tell me what the fuck's going on? Because I don't know what is going on, okay? No one would tell me. At the end of the tour, he gave me an address. And he said, go to this address, because he had a friend who lived near me. Go to this address, there's a present waiting for you. And I was like, what the hell? Okay, all right, I'll go. Finished the tour, got my mum to drive me to this address. It was probably about an hour away. Knocked on this door. This lovely lady answered the door and said, oh, you must be Derek's friend. And I was like, yeah, I am. I don't know what I'm doing here, but apparently he's got me a present. Opened the door and there was a box of Minor symbols. And on top of it, what? It said, welcome to the Minor family. You are now endorsed. And that was my first endorsement.
Shut up. How did I not know this?
I don't know. I really don't know. No idea why I didn't tell you this. And just like that, I became a Minor endorsee. And it was wicked. And I played Minor for ages and ages and ages.
What?
Yeah, mate. Like, honestly, like, when we played like main stage at Download Festival and stuff, it's all Minor. It's all Minor symbols. A lot of the press in Rhythm Magazine is Minor. And then it got to the point where I started to do more and more in the drum world, and then Zildjian reached out. And to be honest, man, like Zildjian, like Travis Lars, they were the first symbols I bought. So I sent Norbert a message and just said, mate, thanks so much, man. Like, I really, really appreciate it. And then that's that.
What?
Honestly.
I can't even believe you even know Norbert's name. This is brand new information.
I don't know why I didn't tell you this before, but that was my first endorsement. It was literally given to me by a guy who just liked my playing, and I got along with him, and he really, really sorted me out. It was a kind of like, I mean, Marno really did take a stab in the dark with me. I was just some kid who played in a hardcore band who played with metal bands, so fair play. And it was a good one.
A lot of endorsements do come from that. It comes from a trusted artist that the A&R has track record with, and that trusted artist goes to the A&R and says, look, I just want to put this person on your radar, because obviously the drum world is too massive for an A&R or even a team of A&Rs to know who everyone is. That's why you'll find people that can outplay both of us in their sleep, and they have no endorsements. And it's like, well, they just haven't been discovered yet. There's just too many people playing drums. There always has been. And it can be really hard. And so when somebody like Derek goes to Norbert and says, look, man, I've never done this before, so you know this means a lot. I really think that this drummer deserves it. Just take a look at him or her. That's a big deal. And that's how a lot of these things happen, is it's very hard to get in. We're going to discuss how to get an endorsement in a little bit. But that is such a cool thing, man.
Yeah.
And just to know that you would leave Minel for an inferior product just because of Travis and Lars.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. But like, real talk, man, like, you know, Zildjian were my baby, and it was really difficult because it's always incredibly hard to, you know, it's like breaking up with a girlfriend that you don't really want to break up with. It's like, it's not you, it's me sort of thing. It is literally that.
And the worst part is, it's actually true. It's like, no, it really isn't you. You did everything right. Because I had to leave Peisty for Minel. And I'm sure you know this now, especially with Ian, but you're not leaving the company. You're leaving the family. Yeah. You know, it's like, man, you are my contact. Imagine, just imagine playing Pearl or Yamaha or whatever. I'm sure like the drums would be fine, but you'd lose Ian, you know, or whoever else you're close with at Tama. And same thing. I mean, I think that commitment to the company is extremely big. So as far as what are endorsements, now you guys know it's generally an association between you and the product, and you're going to agree to play the product. So, and usually you have to sign a contract of some sort. Everyone has different details, so I'm not going to go over all the details with you, but it pretty much says anytime you're being filmed or seen, we expect that our product is on your kit. Now, there are times where I've done a clinic tour somewhere, and for some reason, like a good example would be my hardware. I have a separate hardware deal from my drum deal. So I play Gretsch drums and DW hardware, and it is an endorsement. There have been times where I was just like in Latvia. I'm not calling out Latvia. They've got great distribution, but I know that I've been in some random country or some random city, and they were like, sorry, I do remember. I was in China somewhere, and they weren't able to get me DW hardware. It's no big deal. It's not like, oh, well, we can't do the clinic. I never put up a fuss, but I do take a picture of everything that I'm playing real quick. I send it to my DW A&R in an email and just say, hey, I just want to let you know, if you see any footage from this clinic, they were not able to secure hardware here, or whatever it could be. It could be drum heads. I remember being in Colombia, and somehow something got messed up where they sent out all my Aquarian heads, but the people that were running the clinic put in the order for the heads, and they ordered a 14-inch clear for the bottom snare, but didn't specify snare side. Oh. So it was just a 14-inch clear head. So when I got to sound check, my toms were sounding sweet. It was like, doom, doom. And I got to the snare and it went, gring, gring. And I was like, whoa, I've never heard one this bad before.
Mate, funny story. For my first ever busted gig, right, it was in Dubai. We flew out there, shot a video. And it was wicked. And it was a show out in Dubai. My first ever gig. So the boys, I always traveled with the band. So they were at the hotel and I was like, I'm going to go and just set up early, man, because I don't know what is going to be there. Thank God I did, because I turned up and literally every single brand that I played, it was the opposite. So there was a DW drum kit, there were Sabian cymbals, Remo skins, and I was like, this couldn't go better. And to top it off, Busted were filming that gig for a video. So I had to like obviously tell Ian and tell everyone else, but then see the video, the new guy, and say to the guys in Busted, I know I'm not in the band and I know I'm the session guy, but can we not use this bit, please?
Can you edit this out?
I was like, mate, I'm playing like every other brand. I can't, you know, and they were really cool about it. We did it. We made it work.
But, you know, I think that all of these companies, all they want is that you tried your best, you know? And so with this bottom snare head problem, I remember that we obviously just grabbed what we could, which was a Remo bottom snare head. Sound-wise, I couldn't care less. I mean, if I'm going to swap out one thing, a Remo bottom snare head, it's going to be fine. It's high quality. Whether it's Remo, Evans, or Aquarian, I couldn't care. But, of course, they parked like a camera guy underneath me, just shooting up, going straight into the Remo. I'm like, can you park this guy somewhere else? Just over by the floor tom would be fine. So anyways, with your endorsements, they are hoping that you will play their gear. Obviously, with social media, it's completely obvious. Use their gear. That is it. And then hopefully what you can do, if you start off at more of a beginner level with your endorsement, hopefully you can start a relationship with that company and you can say, look, I'm so appreciative of the 40% off or the 50% off or whatever it is. But I also hope that as my career grows, my endorsement can grow as well. If I gain another 10,000 followers and start to have more impact on what people are buying, then yes, I do expect that percentage to go up. And now I'm getting 60% off, eventually 80, and eventually free gear. I think that's totally okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So what do endorsements do for you? We've covered this a little bit, but I think that the gear is the least important thing that endorsements do for you. First thing that endorsements do, in my mind, is they legitimize your name. So if I say, please welcome to the stage, Mr. Edward Thrower, there's a vibe to that. Mm-hmm. And if I say, please welcome to the stage, Tama Artist, Eddie Thrower. There is an elevated vibe. What else can you think of that endorsements are really helpful with besides, ooh, cool, I got free gear and I can do an unboxing on Instagram?
Yeah, I feel like it's just that sort of trust thing. I feel like I always compare it to like being in a band. It's like when you're in a band and you get signed to a record label or something, you then go, okay, I must be doing something right. And I feel like that's the same when a drum company sort of pops up and says, look, we want to take this further or something. It just shows that what you're doing, people are watching, people are liking it, and it's influencing someone in a certain way, you know. That may sound obvious, but that was the one thing for me that I was like, okay, maybe I'm not so bad at drums, you know. Maybe I'm
totally.
Maybe this is going in the way I want it to go. So, yeah, it just filled me with a little confidence, I guess.
And the confidence also comes from the people that are following you. Like I said, if you're a good drummer, that's wonderful. But if you're Zildjian artist, Eddie Thrower, and you're a good drummer, it's just like, wow, this dude's legit. And I think that that's a really important thing. The other thing that I can remember is how amazing it was to be touring and say, hey, we have a one-off in New York. Can I have like a replica set of my cymbals and my kit at these places? And those companies handled it. Yeah. Now, usually what they're doing is they're going through a rental company, but they made all the arrangements. And it was so easy. Instead of saying like, oh, I'm in Texas and we have a one-off in New York, I have to figure out how to get a drum set over to New York. I could just call my A&R and say, this is the date, this is the location. And he would then tell me, okay, the kit will either be there or it'll be at the local SIR, like our rental spot. You got to go pick it up, but it's all covered. That is such a huge thing. I mean, once you get a kit, if you got a kit from Tomo or Gretsch or Pearl or whoever, I don't need more of them just to sit in a room and play by myself. What I need is support. That support network of, you know, or worst case scenario, someone broke into our van last night and I lost all my cymbals. Yeah. And then your cymbal rep is like, I'll overnight you what you need by tomorrow. That's an endorsement.
Yeah.
That's way more than getting 60% off on, you know, a set of heads.
Yeah, big time. That's happened to me so many times on tour. And also like, oh, I've got like a crack in a cymbal. It's like, well, don't worry about it, man. Well, when you arrive tomorrow, there'll be a fresh new set waiting for you. I mean, that's
exactly.
I remember going to Japan for like the first time, and obviously Tama are like a Japanese company, and they came out and there was a lovely rep there who met me, and it was identical and everything. It was like better than my actual gear, and I was just like, oh, this is the most amazing thing in the world. Like, I could see my boys with their guitar stuff, like trying to rewire it all and put the strings back on their guitar because they had to like detune it for the air pressure and stuff. And I just turned up and there was a beautiful drum set up as well.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Japan,
shout out
Tama. And Tama. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. I will give you that. I won't even make fun of it because that is, I'm slightly envious. Like, oh, matcha, sushi, and Tama drums while in Japan. That's a home run right there.
Yeah,
that'll work. Yeah, I think that it's really important to understand that that type of support, that's what endorsements do for you. The other thing that I experienced for sure was career building. Meinl went so far out of their way. Actually, I got to give props to Aquarian first. Aquarian was the very first company ever to take out a full page ad in Modern Drummer magazine for a drum teacher. And there was nothing else. It was just, hey, here's a full page ad of our artist, Mike Johnston, playing a practice pad. And they promoted my website. This is like 8-9 years ago. People were like, why does he have a website for drum lessons? No one even understood what was going on. And I remember calling the president at the time, Roy Burns. And I said, Roy, I mean, I'm so grateful for this, but why would you support me like this? And I mean, on the roster was legends. Like, this is a full page ad in a magazine, and it didn't just run in Modern Drummer. It ran in all the magazines. So it was like a $40,000 promotional commitment to run this in 15 magazines around the world. And he was like, we believe in you. We believe in what you're doing for education or whatever. And it was just like, well, you just legitimized everything I've been struggling to get people to listen to. Yeah. I've been begging people to pay attention to, I'm going to teach drums on the internet. Everyone laughs at me, and you just legitimized it in one day. Okay, well, imagine the loyalty that I have for Aquarian.
Yeah.
My career has changed so much since then. You can't imagine that Remo and Evans haven't knocked on the door. it's a very easy no for me, because it's like, no, you don't understand. It's not about anything other than what this company did for me a decade ago, yeah, when they didn't have to. It wasn't like 3 years ago where it's like, oh, we think this is going to be big. This is, everyone thought it would not be big, and they took a chance. And so that to me is way more important than if they said, we're going to do this, but you have to pay 50% on heads, fine by me.
Yeah.
Because what they did for my career, you know, is just insane. Same thing with Meinl. Meinl went, there's so many things that happened that I take for granted now until I look back on it. And without my symbol company, I couldn't have done it. So PASIC was a big one. That's our biggest, you know, drum festival of the year. And they went so far out of their way to say, when PASIC can't have 10 Zildjian artists, they have to split it up. Like, well, we'll get a couple Meinl guys, a couple Zildjian guys, a couple Paiste guys. So it's not just like, it's not PASIC just picking drummers.
Yeah.
You know, we need to have some Pearl representation, some Tama, some Gretsch, whatever, some DW. So when they went to Meinl and said, okay, out of your entire roster, who is getting the main stage for, as a Meinl artist? They said, Mike Johnston. This is in 2012.
Mm.
No one knew who I was. And I remember getting to PASIC and be like, okay, so which room that looks like a cafeteria will I be in? They're like, oh, you're right after Chad Smith and before Dave Weckl. And I was like, yo, no, I just shat my pants. This shan't happen. Hell no.
Wow. So
Meinl made that stuff happen. And as soon as I got off the stage from that, walking off the stage, Modern Drummer magazine grabbed me and said, hey, how would you like to be the April cover artist? None of that would have happened without my cymbal company pulling strings. So to me, that stuff is so much. That's why I kind of get old manish and get off my lawnish about people being like, yo, hook me up with gear. I'm like, gear is the least important part of your endorsement. Yeah. The association with the company is everything.
Exactly, man. And the other thing that kind of gets my sort of back up is just, I understand when you get endorsed, it makes you look a certain way. Like we're saying, it legitimizes you. But it's like, I find that a lot of people these days just go for that sort of, I want to be endorsed so I can put it in my bio and look a certain way and stand out. It's like, just be subtle about it a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, you don't have, it's like, yet again, comparing it to being in a band. I often get questions about like, oh, when should I look for a manager? Or when should I look for a label? And it's like, well, just don't, mate. Just do you. And they'll pop up when the time is ready. And I know that sounds so sort of Yoda-ish, but it's true, man. And it's the same with endorsements. Like, don't be getting some random scammy company to endorse you just so you can put it in your Instagram bio and say, oh, I'm so happy to be part of this family, when you're not. You've just discovered this brand and they've just said, we can endorse you for all the wrong reasons. Do you know what I mean? That's the other bit that I'm like, come on, guys, just wait out for the actual endorsement you want.
And we all get it in the back of our minds. We know it's a business. I fully understand that, but you're right. Like, it's also a very small industry. So if you have been an artist with JoJo Sticks, and then, you know, Silver Lion Sticks, and then Eddie's faster sticks than are doper than fast sticks. Then, and all this has happened in 2 years, when you approach Vader, Vic Firth, Promark, they all know the A&Rs from these other companies that you endorse. And they're going to say, no, I'm sorry, you have no brand loyalty. Mm. You've been with three stick companies in 3 years. Why would we trust that you won't just leave us for someone else? So I think when you're going for endorsements, and we'll explore this later in depth, but when you're going for endorsements, shoot for the moon. And if you can't get them, then you need to work harder. You need to practice more.
Yeah.
And you need to let these companies know that you're invested in their journey as well. I mean, it was the company that I talked to yesterday. I was bringing up memories of their company from well over a decade ago that this A&R would remember. So he knew, like, look, man, I'm not just shopping around and I'll see if this works out. I let him know I didn't email anyone else in your industry. You're more than welcome to check. Either we do this together or we don't, and I just buy your equipment because I believe in your company. So I'm going to use it regardless. It's, do you want to be partners in this, or am I just going to be somebody that bought your gear and we, you know, but I also then have the freedom to do whatever I want. And how do you want to handle this?
Yeah.
So that stuff's very, you know, you have to have some brand loyalty. It's very important. And the other thing, I'm sure you've experienced this with Tama and Zildjian and Promark and Evans, your companies will be the coolest companies on the planet at certain points. And then at other points, someone else will get a new social media manager and it'll be like, damn, Pearl's really killing it, or Yamaha's really killing it. And then all of a sudden, maybe your company isn't the coolest for this week or this month. You have to ride it out. Do you believe in the product or not?
Yeah, I mean, that made, when I first started playing Tama on these stages with other bands who are playing SJC and Truth and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Honestly,
oh my God,
mate,
I forgot.
No one,
you were in, right?
Yeah, no one. People looked at me as if I was some like weird nerd who just like was just trying to be so different to stand out. Right. And it was like, nah, like, I just love this. But it was the same with Promark, mate. I was paying for Promark sticks until about 4 years, 5 years ago, maybe. And I remember my mate in the band saying, Eddie, surely you can get a stick endorsement from someone. And I was like, yeah, but it hasn't aligned yet and Promark hasn't happened. And I like Promark sticks. So we can afford them. Shut up, mate. We're going to buy them still. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Because
it was the only
yep.
thing we were buying anyway. But
right.
it was just like, yeah, I like Promark, so I'm going to play them. And I like Tama. It's funny now, like I said in the other episode, I sound like a bloody broken record, but so many boys who used to take the piss out of me for playing Tama, they're all on Tama now, mate.
That's so funny. I can imagine that time period, everybody with their 22 by 96 bass drums from yeah. SJC. By the way, I love SJC as a company. I love Mike. I'm
yeah,
all good
cool,
with that. I'm
just cool saying,
I remember the trend. I remember
yeah.
the trend, and I could totally see people coming up to you being like, are you a jazzer? And you're like, it's Tama. No, it's a Met. And they're like, yeah, sorry, man, we don't get it. And it's like, oh my God, you guys will get it. Everyone gets it now. Tama is crushing it. All right, so next thing up, what can you do for your endorsements? We know what your endorsements can do for you. They can get you gear. They can support you. They can build your career. They can legitimize you. How do you pay them back? Now, obviously, there is the financial side of things where you recommend their products to people that follow you and the people that you have influence over, and they buy them. The problem with that is, unless it's a signature product, and we've talked about this before, unless it's a signature product or there's some sort of type in Eddie15 on checkout promo code, how would they know the influence you have? So that is not going to be enough. Just the fact that people are buying gear because of you, there's really no way to track that unless you're playing a very specific model of something mm-hmm. and they can notice a sales bump since you started promoting it. So it's not quite that easy. I think the most important thing that you can do is make sure that you're building the trust and helping out with the information that that company can't do because there's just not enough time in social media to promote everything. I remember asking DW a long time ago, I was at their factory and I was like, how have you guys never mentioned that your bass drum pedal does this? And they're like, well, that's the 97th feature of that bass drum pedal. Where would you like us to mention that? I'm like, okay, fair enough. I just think it's really cool that it does this. And they're like, yeah, we think it's cool too, but it also does a lot of other things. There's just not enough room on a page to put everything it does. And so that's where people like you and I come in, is as artists, I can make a 45-second video on the 97th feature of this pedal, and that becomes my social media for the day. I can help promote the brand, and hopefully, if I've never taken any of those deals that you were talking about, those kind of janky bottom feeder deals, then hopefully I have the trust of the people, and whatever I say, as long as I'm not lying, I build even more trust, and they go, hey, I bought that thing that you talked about, and it over-delivered. It blew me away. And it's like, cool. Then our trust is building. I'm building capital with that, rather than, I would hate for, and this has never happened, I'm sure it's never happened to you, but if your company came to you and said, hey, we're really struggling to sell the 29-inch ride, can you push it a little bit? You know, it's like, no, I can't. It's a 29-inch ride. I don't play that.
Happened recently, mate. I mean, there's, because Evans have pads. And I like the Reflex one, and it's the same sort of thing. But yet again, my repper Evans is amazing. He said, you know, I know you like using Reflex, so don't worry about it. And it's that yeah. it's just, I've always just believed in that, man. Just like, play what you want to play and play what you love. And I think that is amazing. And it's the companies that are giving us the gear to do that. When we use something so consistently, and we always talk about how much we like it, and we're not changing, and we're not just trying to use whatever's the latest thing or whatever, these companies, man, must look at us and be like, oh, thank you. Like the snare that I've got, I use that because I love it, and that's that. And I use the Crash of Doom all the time because I love it. I'm not just looking for the latest thing to show everyone else that I just get all the latest stuff for free and all this kind of stuff. I just use what I like, and that's that. And over time, it pays off for these companies, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough thing too, is because we get to see on our own rosters that our rosters do have their gear demo people, and that is a thing. And there are I've tried it, and it's not my thing. Like, I think a good example of this would be Carter McLean. I mean, good as far as it's not cheesy, it's fully positive, but that guy seems to be playing a different drum in every single video, but it's all Ludwig. It's all amazing, and it all has a purpose. If you sent me 10 Gretsch snares, I would get out my TuneBot and tune them all exactly the same, all with the same heads, and you wouldn't be able to tell any of them apart because I have a sound that I like. So I'm horrible for that. Carter is somebody that explores sounds. So he's like, yeah, send me that 14x11 Maple Babinga with tube lugs and die-cast hoops, and I will find its sweet spot, and I will show that drum off flawlessly. And I think that every company should have a few of those, because somehow Carter does it and it's not a commercial, but at the end, I want to buy whatever he just played.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I watched a video of his recently, and he's got the same mics as me. I'm sure he's got a million more mics, but he set it up with just a kick and an overhead like you do.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, that just made me want to go do that. And then I was like, and then I sat behind here and I was like, that's just not my vibe.
What it's all about is vibe. You know, I mean, Carter was a huge help for me making that move, giving me confidence, because I didn't really notice. I don't know if I don't know. I don't want to speak out of turn because I can't remember if I noticed it or didn't notice it. But I remember him when I made a social media deal years ago out of going to Two Mics. I remember him being the first one to reach out and be like, just do it. You got, like, supporting me emotionally. Yeah. Like, you got this. Don't overthink it. And then really hearing, because then it clicks. You start going through his videos and other guys like him and girls like him. You go through their videos and you're like, I don't see any mics, but yet the drums sound so incredible and natural and real. But that has to be your vibe to go for it. I mean, it's taste. So
yeah,
back to what you can do for endorsements. It wouldn't be our podcast. We're going to go off on a tangent. I think the most important thing is you can be steady in your support for that product. Like Eddie and I said about, or like Eddie said about the practice pads, we both play Reflex and we just do. And if you saw me play a Reflex and then an Aquarian and then a Vic Firth, and that you would just be like, well, I guess pads don't matter. But if you always see me playing the same pad, that makes you think maybe pads do matter. And I can tell you this, pads matter in the way that if you want to play it, you'll play it. That's it. Pick your favorite one. Eddie and I just happened to choose Reflex. And that is part of our endorsement. We just mentioned one pad company multiple times in one episode of our podcast. Moving on from that, how do you figure out if you deserve an endorsement? So this is the tricky part, because I just went through it myself yesterday and I was questioning, do I deserve this? And can I pay it back? So when you're scrolling through Instagram, do you ever see somebody where you're like, I wonder if they're endorsed because this person definitely deserves it? I don't want to go negative. We definitely know some people where it's like, wow, who do you know?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that's usually our own jealousy coming out. So, but there are times where I've seen people where I'm like, I'm going to dig into this deeper, because if this person isn't on a roster, I really wish they were playing Meinl or Gretsch before they're playing something else.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully, because of Ian, the A&R for Tama, we're close friends, and he's got his ears to the ground. And most of the time when I'm like, have you heard of this guy or girl? He's like, yeah, I've been DMing. I'm like, sweet. Because I was just about to tell you to check him out anyway. And it's like, it's cool that you get these A&Rs that do have their ear to the ground and aren't just looking for like a big social media number. Because I think we've spoken about it before. Like, it's kind of, I think those days, not that having a big number isn't important, because it is, but there's a lot of this sort of, I don't want to get too neggy, but there's a lot of buying followers these days. There's a lot of that sort of stuff. And it's actually
hard to trust the numbers.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to trust the numbers. And I think it's really important for the A&R to see through that. But yeah, it's happened a few times, man, when I've said to Ian and a few other people that, you know, because I don't, just jumping from point to point here, I get a lot of people in bands saying, oh, can you put me in touch with this person or that person? And people out of bands as well. And I don't really do it that much unless I truly believe. And so when someone from Zildjian gets an email from me saying, oh, check this person out, or Ian gets a text from me saying that, they know that they should check them out. And I love doing that for people, man. I really love that. Like when someone reaches out and says, you know, I haven't got loads of followers, but you know, it'd be cool to get in touch with this person. And when I truly think that they deserve it and they're not just after a quick freebie, then I do it. And I love seeing that sort of relationship fruition.
You just got 300 DMs.
Yeah, shit.
From drummers that are like,
oh no.
Oh, Eddie said he loves to help people out.
Yeah.
No, but I'm with you, man. I think that that's a great feeling when we get to become junior A&Rs for our A&R, right? We get to do the scouting and go like, oh my gosh. I remember calling my rep at Meinl, Chris Brewer, or maybe it was an email, but I sent him the link to this amazing drummer, really like super pocket heavy drummer named Ash Sohn. And I was like, well, you should check this guy out because we need to sweep him up now. And he was like, do you not know who Ash Sohn is? I'm like, no, but he's really good. And I think he's about to blow up on Instagram. And then my A&R was like, just watch any of his videos and try to look behind him because there's about 1,000 platinum records on the wall. And then I looked him up and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like, this guy's legit. This guy's the Josh Fries of the UK. He's on every album from Cher to like freaking Seal. And I was like, oh, so he already has endorsements. And my A&R was like, yes, he's good. He's set. And we're not going to change. We're not going to be able to change. I was like, ah, damn. I thought I really discovered a gem here.
Yeah, it's like finding like a new band that's just about to blow up. And then you realize they're on like a Universal deal already. And you're like, ah.
They're on their fourth album. Like, no, it's Rage Against the Machine. They're brand new.
That was like me.
Rappy, rocky.
It was like me the other day. Yeah. AC/DC Thunderstruck. Have you heard it?
Right. You got to check it out. This intro guitar riff just gets you going.
It just gets you pumped.
All right. So as far as deserving an endorsement, obviously what Eddie just said is very true. The numbers game has changed. There used to be, I mean, only 2 years ago, having 20,000 followers would get you in the door with any company just to at least start a conversation. Now they know you can buy followers, so they need to see more. We can't get you out of the fact that you have to be good at your instrument. That is a given. But you don't have to be the best. You will lose that battle. These rosters... If you went to the ProMark website and just clicked on artist, as you scroll down, you're like, dear God, like, these are the greatest drummers to ever live. And then you go to the Vic Firth one, and you're like, never mind, these are the greatest. And then you go to Vader, and you're like, holy crap, there's no room for anybody. There's room. You have to have a voice. You have to have something to say on your instrument and off your instrument. And most importantly, I think you need a second validating factor past your social media numbers. I do not think it's enough these days. You're going to have a very short-lived, non-committal type of endorsement if it was all based off of social media. If there's a second validating factor, like just because we've talked about him in this podcast, Carter McLean, awesome Instagram page, killing it on YouTube. I mean, his YouTube numbers are through the roof. Oh yeah, but he's also the drummer for The Lion King, Charlie Hunter, has an educational website. He's validated way past his social media numbers. Same thing with you. Like, you're a touring drummer. You have an educational website. So your social media numbers are not the only thing. And I think that's a really important factor is if I was an A&R and I saw what you were doing on social media, I'd be like, oh, cool. This person's got 30,000 followers. Seems like there's really good engagement. I wouldn't care about your views. I'd be looking at the comments section. Are you responding to the comments? Are you active with your followers? Because if you do have an influence over them and they ask you, hey, what's that snare you're playing? And you didn't answer in the comments in your past post, why are you going to answer now once we endorse you? I need to see that you're the type of person that engages with your followers. But I also want that second validation factor. Maybe it is that you're an educator and you've got a website. Maybe it's that you're a touring drummer. Maybe you're a session player like Ash. But there needs to be something else besides I rip on Instagram. That's just not enough to have a long-term relationship with a company.
Yeah, good point, man. Good point. And I think that's important in, you know, more ways than one, really. Just being able to... We've spoken about it before. When you see a drummer on Instagram and we know that they wouldn't be able to handle that pressure playing a clinic. So I think it's just being able to... Yeah, not just, you know, Instagram and YouTube is a funny world because you can edit everything. You know what I mean? You can edit absolutely everything. And it's a lot of smoke and mirrors. And I think I love that, man. I love what you're saying. When you discover something about someone that they haven't shouted about, you know, like I'm not one to shout about what I've done. And I love that. A lot of my friends who use social media over here, who are session players. I mean, half the time they haven't even got who they've played for in their bio. They don't even, you know what I mean? And it's just wicked, man. I love
Isn't that what happened with Ash Sohn?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm running around trying to sign the guy. And my ref's like, just so you know, he's actually a legend. And I'm like, really?
Yeah, he's a living legend.
Okay. So I think you do have to have social media for the most part, just because it is the easiest way now. Everything I went through yesterday was a lot faster because of social media. I sent him an email. He was able to go to my Instagram page, check up on my followers, make sure I'm not inflating anything. Then just like you and Ian and I have talked about in the past, like, okay, well, let me go through 5 or 6 posts and see, is there a paid post that got 100,000 views and right after it, his next video got 1,000 views because he didn't have enough money to pay for that post? Or is there a consistency going on here? So those things are super, super important. Now, to our last point, and this is probably the most important one for all of you out there, how do you approach a company about endorsements? And Eddie and I were both very lucky that for our first batch of endorsements, someone else really took the torch, whether it's just a manager or for me, it was a producer. But I didn't go to DW and say, hey, I'm 21 years old. I just signed my first record deal and I'm pretty freaking fast on a pad. You might want to hook me up. I didn't have to do that. A producer called and said, hey, I've got this moron here that just got his braces off. Still a bit of acne, but I think he'll be good in about 5 years.
It's a very hard thing, mate, isn't it? It's a very hard thing.
It's worst.
I think there's two different people. There's two types of people in this world. One is quite happy to shout about what they've done and the other isn't. And I think I'm I'm not really, like we said at the beginning, man, it's how do you do it? How do you do it? And I think what I like to think, and what I do believe actually, is someone is always watching. Someone is always watching what you do, like whether you believe it or not. Like for me, I always watch drum videos. I might not necessarily like it or comment or even follow the person, but I'm seeing. And the more consistent you are, you're going to pop up more. And I honestly think, as hippie as it may sound, and this isn't something you can walk away and necessarily just do overnight and it happens, but my comparison to the whole band and manager situation, like just keep on being you, be genuine, be subtle, be consistent. And then at the right time, someone's going to pop up. Or what happened with me and Mike, someone's going to make that intro for you. And I just think that is the most organic, beautiful way of doing it. I think that's just going to, you're going to have longevity. And I just think the companies like that, mate. Companies like that. So
yeah,
it's a very difficult thing, man. But I think that would be my advice to anyone listening now, is just to keep on playing the stuff you like to play, be consistent, and it's a domino effect, man, and eventually it will kind of line up for you.
And I think that when it comes to finally reaching out, a couple rules that I would have for any of my students that are getting to that point where they're about to have endorsements come their way. One, even if there was no COVID, NAMM is not the spot.
No.
Stop it. Stop trying to get endorsed at NAMM. It is a joke in the industry when people do that. We all know that it's happening. A&Rs know, and they do not want it. If anything, if you're going to do anything at NAMM, walk up to the person, find out who the A&R is, ask if you can have their business card, and just say, look, like, acknowledge what they're going through. Be like, I know that your brain is probably scrambled right now with all the meetings and everybody just coming up to you left and right. I don't want to take up any of your time, but is there any way I could just have your card and maybe reach out a month after all of this chaos has subsided? They will appreciate that so much more than you being like, hey, what's up? So I play for this band and I'm really good. And do you want me to demo how good I am on this kit right now at full volume? Yeah. Okay. I got 5 Bs. Like, no one needs to hear that.
5 Bs. Yeah, exactly. It is, mate. That's it. It's all about taste. And I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, you know, thinking about it. I'm not just saying, oh, just the stars will align. Don't make an effort and reach out. That's not what I mean. But like,
totally.
When it is time to reach out, like the audience stuff and the earthworks that I've just got, you know, a friend introed me and I did sort of reach out to one. No, both. Actually, two friends introed me to the companies. And I just put it out there. I just said, I'd love to work with you guys and learn more about your products. They've been highly recommended. And that's how I sort of left it. And I left it up to them to dive into my page and my story and my life to discover, so I didn't have to do the awkward conversation about bigging myself up. But yeah, it's all about just being tasteful, man. Do you know what I mean? Being tasteful and not bombarding
and respecting their job. You know, like I said, even if you're an artist right now, it wouldn't be a bad idea for every once in a while for you to go to the website that you're endorsed by and click on artists, just so that you can be like, oh yeah, I remember being pissed off that it took him 30 minutes to return my call. But then I just scrolled down artists and it was like Tommy Lee, Travis Barker, Questlove, Steve Jordan. And you're like, oh my God, they're all calling your A&R too.
Yeah.
So relax. I don't know why companies haven't decided yet, you know what, let's take half of our budget and just hire an A&R staff, because I don't know how these guys do it. Every time like I'm in on the phone with my A&R, in that half hour conversation, he gets 96 calls that he has to put on hold. Like, yeah, I'll call you back. I'll text you back. I'll call you back. I'll text you back. I'm like,
mate,
oh my God.
I was with Ian the other day, and I won't say who the drummer was, but mate,
right.
This guy was going in. In. He didn't know I was listening. He didn't know I was in the car. He was going in. And I was there like, Ian, does this happen a lot? And he's like, more than you would ever believe. And I sort of had to say to myself, well, and say to Ian, like, mate, I would never get that angry over a boom stand, being a boom stand and not a straight stand. I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. But anyway, yeah, little side note there.
No. I mean, I think that having empathy for your A&Rs and how difficult their jobs are is extremely important. So to wrap this thing up, when it comes down to you approaching these endorsements, obviously, I think your first step is to hope for some sort of intro. If you can get an intro from a trusted artist or another A&R that you already work with, or somebody can make that introduction to say some of those things on your behalf so you don't have to say them for yourself. If they can say, look, you're going to get an email from this guy or this girl and they are killing it right now, let me tell you what they're up to, that's the best way to go about it.
100%.
But that even that has to be organic. Like, I would never reach out to somebody that I don't really know. And be like, if I wanted to switch microphone brands, I would never reach out to, say, Steve Jordan and just say, hey, can you put in a call? I don't know what mic company he's with, but he'd be like, do I know you? I'd be like, yeah. No, we met at a drum off in 2009 where we were both judges, but you were 11 seats down from me.
Yeah.
He'd be like, okay, yeah, I guess I'll put in a call and it won't carry any weight.
That must have happened to you. That's happened to me.
Oh, so. For sure.
It's like, Mike,
you mean when other people ask you?
Yeah, it's like
oh, all the time.
I don't know this person. It's like, oh yeah, can you just send me? Mate, what happened the other day?
I have Gretsch's A&R phone number?
Yeah,
no,
literally that. And I was
no,
like,
you cannot.
I'm gonna leave you in request there, mate. I think that that just leaves that you're gonna stay there.
If you really impress me, I'm gonna move you to general. But you're not going to primary.
No way, mate.
The DM knowledge. Okay, so. If you can get somebody to recommend you, that's fantastic, but it does need to be somebody that you actually have an actual relationship with. Then hopefully you'll get the contact information for that A&R, then reach out. And I think the most important thing in your email to them is going to be letting them know that it's not about a hookup. Like, if you're sending the yo, hook me up type of email, it's already over. It's already over. You've already lost. Instead, let them know something that about the history of their product that means the world to you. Like I said, in my email to this A&R that I spoke to yesterday, I let him know in the email, just so you know, I have not reached out to any other companies. You are the only company I'm speaking to about this. And no matter how this goes, you will be the only company I'm speaking to about this. If I cannot be associated with this company as a partner and an endorsee, then I'm buying their product because they make the best product. I did my research. I know they make the best product. That's that. And so you have to let them know that. The other thing is really, really, really think about your gumball test. The gumball test is the most important thing in the world when it comes to how these people view you. So you might think I'm crushing it because I'm in this band and we're playing to 10,000 people a night. Go to the front of your stage and throw out a handful of gumballs and see how many drummers you hit. If you hit zero drummers, you probably don't have as much influence as you think. If you go to a clinic that only has 30 people in attendance and you throw out a handful of gumballs, every gumball will hit a drummer. The person playing to 30 drummers a night probably has as much influence, if not more, than the drummer in a touring band that doesn't engage in social media, doesn't do anything extra other than play in their band. It's like, yeah, you're 100%. Seen by a lot of people. But if I went and saw Taylor Swift with my wife, I couldn't find the damn drummer. I heard drums. I never saw him.
Exactly. And you were the only one out of 25,000 people looking for
exactly.
that cricket. So
totally.
That's a fact, mate. That is a fact. I always have this conversation with Ian as well. Just, you know, like, you must get these emails saying, I have toured with this artist and blah, blah, blah. And he's right. like, mate, all day long. And yet again, it's quality over quantity. It's like, yeah. like exactly like you're saying, you know, it's it value. Doesn't matter if you're playing O2 Arena supporting Kendrick Lamar, like right. no one cares that you're playing.
Yeah, like if you did O2 Arena with like an opera singer, it's like, unfortunately, there's no drum set players in the audience. So it doesn't matter that it's sold out. It has to, in that situation, you need a second form of validation. You need to have like, oh yeah, I know that what I'm doing, whoever, like if I'm the drummer for Taylor Swift, yeah, I know it's not directly impacting a lot of drummers at the shows, but because I'm the drummer for Taylor Swift, now I have access to all these people to talk to them about drumming and get people interested in drumming in the first place. And here's my proof that I'm doing that. Then double whammy.
And to film
I've always
content.
Said that if I was on tour with Taylor Swift, I would have we would have the money to do whatever the hell we wanted. So I would have a replica of my kit that was set up in the lobby of this arena. And when the show was over, I would towel off and run my ass out to that kit. And as 25,000 people left, they were going to have to walk past my kit with a rope around, and I'd be sitting there answering questions. Mm. Done. Now I have value to these companies because it's like, yeah, I got to talk to, maybe I talked to 75 people. Well, that's, you know, 45 more than the person that did a clinic for 30. So
yeah,
finding your value for these companies, that's how you're going to be able to not only keep your endorsement, but grow it from 30% off to 50% off to free drums to now I'm on their clinician roster. Now I'm one of their featured artists that they're using in drum festivals. That's the goal, is to grow this thing into something that really supports your career. And I think it just, you know, when I look at the careers that you and I have, I don't think these careers would have happened without our endorsements and without the support of our companies.
No, not at all, man. Not at all. Especially with the clinician side of things. For me, I got put on the front cover of Rhythm over here. Yeah. And I was just like, mate, without Tama,
You were on the cover of Rhythm?
Yeah.
Send me the picture.
It's a funny story again. I had like my mate come down and take loads of pictures of me for like Instagram and just like social media and stuff.
With his iPhone?
Flyers. I think he actually used a Sony and he turned up and I went, ugh. I prefer a Canon. Actually, I didn't even know what a camera was back then.
Right.
And the shoot happened. Ian told me it was going to happen, this cover, and I just didn't believe him. And then it did happen, the shoot happened. But you probably know like the vibe with some of these photographers, not that I am calling him out at all, but it's just the general vibe sometimes. He wanted me to do stick tricks and, you know, I don't do a stick trick. And so anyway, long story short, I was like, this is crazy. I'm going to be on the front cover. I need to know what the image is going to look like. I just have to. So
100%.
I sent them the picture my mate took and I said, I know this is going to sound vain, but please, 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 can we use one of these? Because I'm so happy with them and I want to frame this and blah, blah, blah. And they were absolute legends and they let me pick the cover, which never normally happens. I mean, I've been there before with band days and it's like I'm in the background, cross-eyed, like blurred out. And I'm like, I really wanted to be proud of this moment, but there's no way on earth I could put that on my wall.
I'm not going to win this one.
It was cool, man.
I went through the same thing with a magazine here in the US, not Modern Drummer, but they actually did the full photo shoot, sent me the cover. I'll send it to you later. And I was like, no, I'm sorry. This is my first US cover ever. No, it's bad. And they were like, I'm sorry, aren't you a... I mean, this is a long time, but they're like, aren't you a drum teacher? And I'm like, I know, and I'm so appreciative. I'm so appreciative.
But
red's not my color, and no. And so I said, how about this? Can I hire a photographer? I'll pay for the whole thing. And if you like it, we'll use it. If not, we'll go with yours. And I did the same thing. I had to, because like you said, I mean, in the end, we are... the chief marketing officer for Mike Johnston Inc. and Eddie Thrower Inc. Like, I have to be in control of this stuff. And my thought, and I think this is probably what you went through, My thought was, if y'all got involved, it'd be better than whatever I could do with me and my friend. Wrong. You guys clearly don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you got your jobs at the... Sorry, I'm going to take that out of the podcast.
That is true, mate. Some of the band days, some of the band photo shoots I've done have been so bad. It's like we always used to joke when Mike, the singer, used to say... when he used to do something like put his devil horns up and stick his tongue out, he was taking the piss. And right. Every time he used
they'd
to
use
do
that one,
they go, that's the one, bit more of that. And we're like, no. And so we realized we can't joke because they are the ones that are going to be used.
Yep.
And it was that,
every
that
time.
Exact thing. Every time, mate.
Yeah,
every
yeah.
Time.
No, I feel like David Beckham around the paparazzi. Like, I pull the memory card out of their camera and I just step on it. I'm like, you're not using any of this. Like, it's terrible. All
that.
Right, everybody. We're not ending on that bad of a note. Let's go into the positive. I hope you guys enjoyed this. I hope you understand that approaching endorsements really comes down to you truly believing in that company's product long term. There will be ups, there will be downs, there will be cooler companies. There will always be somebody cooler that just came out. Do not freak out and try to leave. Stay there. Prove that you have brand loyalty. That is so, so important. And most importantly, the easiest way to figure out who you should be going after for endorsements is sit down, imagine that someone just gave you £1 million or $1 million, and write down the gear you would buy. Whatever you would buy is what you should endorse, and that is it. There's nothing else to talk about. If you wouldn't buy it, why would you endorse it? So I've always said, like, if I lost all of my endorsements today, my kit would look exactly the same. I would go buy a vintage Hell, I bought that vintage Gretsch.
Yeah, there you go.
I paid full price for it. But I would buy those same symbols. You know that I just bought all new cameras. I've never reached out to Canon yet. And I don't know if I could. I really don't know much about how they handle things. But it's like, you know what? I buy it because I love it. Mm. And you have to feel that way about whoever you're approaching. And I think it's okay to let them know, especially like, hey, go ahead and scroll through my page. You can see that for the last 6 years, I've used nothing but your products, and I will continue using your products. That being said, I want to be part of your family. I want to proudly represent your company. When you approach them like that, instead of I need 50% off on your symbols, it's going to go a lot farther.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, everybody, have an amazing, amazing day. I hope this was able to get you through a long jog, a drive to work, or whatever else. Also, because of your incredible response, Eddie and I will be doing this podcast 7 days a week.
I don't think my heart can take it, mate, honestly.
Oh my God.
What I went through earlier, I was like, whilst you were talking, I was trying to turn down the heating. I was just sweating so much, mate. I was like, oh God. Mate, episode though, man. A great
episode.
That
was so much fun. We definitely have to play more. I feel like I finally got to play drums with my buddy, because you and I both specifically never played together when we were together at NAMM. It was like you sat down on that one Italian kit, then I sat down on it, then we like filmed each other, and that was about it. So
yeah,
we finally got to jam. We'll see if any of it makes it into the podcast, because I don't know if the audio even got picked up, but if it did, that's awesome.
Yeah,
everybody, please do us a huge favor, review the podcast. Also, I wanted to say thank you to quite a few people that have sent me emails saying like, hey, I listen to you on a format that doesn't have reviews or ratings, it's just a podcast app. So they've sent emails as their reviews. And thank you guys. We appreciate all of it. Even though Eddie and I aren't spamming our own feeds with your guys' screenshots, we still love seeing those screenshots. We do see them. We totally appreciate it. But for now, episode 10 is in the can. Maybe episode 10, episode 9, episode 10.
I don't know.
I don't know. We've gone too far. All right,
but we can just edit that, can't we? 9, 10.
I can edit anything. We just talked about how everybody's social media is edited. Podcast is edited.
Damn right.
Hey, I'm going to drop in when we shed. I'm going to drop in Weckle and Vinny going back and forth.
Perfect, mate. Perfect.
Goodbye.
See you later.
Good day to you, sir.